Our question this evening is not exactly the most cheery for a May evening. We're thinking about the subject, why do innocent people suffer? It's not exactly a comfortable question to be faced with, is it? But it is very real. It's one which stirs in each of us as we watch the news or reflect perhaps on our own situation. The tragedy of the earthquake in Nepal so recently, the victims of crime that we see on the news, or closer to home for us as a church family at Longmeadow, the brain tumour threatening the life of a beautiful little girl. Why do innocent people suffer? Why is life sometimes so cruel, so unfair? And where is God in all of this? Why do innocent people suffer? Well, let me begin with the simplest of acknowledgements. I don't have all the answers. I can't give you a nice, neat package in 5 minutes that will solve the problem, answer all your questions, and smooth it all over and make it all right. Because to do so would be to make one of two claims. It would either be to claim that I am God, because I have all understanding, and that simply is not true, or it would be to claim that there is no God. Because if there is no God, there is an answer to our question, but it is a brutal one. Richard Dawkins, the renowned atheist, put it like this. In a universe of electrons and selfish genes, blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, other people are going to get lucky, and you won't find any rhyme or reason for it, nor any justice. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. Now, whatever you may think of Richard Dawkins, he is entirely consistent in his thinking here. This is the logical and inevitable conclusion of a universe without God. Stuff just happens. Deal with it. Why do innocent people suffer? Because that's just the way it is. No rhyme, no reason, no cause for complaint, just stuff. Which means that taking God out of the equation solves none of the problem. Because suffering, especially the suffering of the innocent, is a problem, isn't it? Everything within us says that it is wrong for innocent people to suffer. Everything within us sees the news headlines, hears the stories, perhaps knows the individuals concerned, and we think this is wrong. This is not the way the world should be. But you see, a universe without God is a universe of blind chance. And in a universe of pure chance, there is no way the world should be, just stuff that happens. Now, you can perhaps hold on to that idea in the abstract, but not, I think, when it comes close to home. When we know the faces and names of those who suffer. When we see the people who matter to us. See, suffering matters because people matter. We know, don't we, deep within us, that there is a way this world should be. Well, I've already said that as a Christian, I make no claim to a nice, neat answer to the question of why the innocent suffer. But I can point us to some true things that God tells us in the Bible. Not the whole story, but true things. I'm just going to mention two of them in the very short time that I have this evening. And the first is to affirm that deep-held belief we have that the world is not what it should be. Because the Bible is very clear that this world is broken. Beautiful, wonderful, exciting, yes, created by a good God, it could be nothing less, but not as it should be. So it retains much of its God-given, God-created beauty and wonder, but it is marred and broken because we have turned our backs on the goodness of God. All of us refuse to listen to him, and when you refuse to listen to the source of all goodness, things go wrong. So why do innocent people suffer? Well, because the world is not as it should be, not as God intended it. There is a brokenness to this world. But the second true thing we can say to this question this evening is that God is not oblivious to or uncaring about the suffering of the innocent. More than that, that he is able to empathize with the suffering of the innocent. Because God himself has been the victim of innocent suffering. He's not stood far off and uninvolved. He's not been disinterested and unconcerned. No, he came in the person of Jesus Christ to be involved in this world up to his neck. Jesus was born into relative poverty, not the glory of a palace, but the squalor of a stable, his cot and animal feeding trough. And within a matter of months, he and his family were fleeing for their lives to Egypt as King Herod sought to kill him. He began his life as a refugee. And from the Christmas story to the events of Easter, where Jesus is betrayed by one who appeared to be a friend, one who had followed him around for 3 years, been part of his closest circle, and now betrayed him to the authorities. sold him to his death for money. Judas, to whom Jesus had only ever shown kindness, turned on him for cold, hard cash. And he was then deserted by the rest of his followers, friends who had promised to stand by him no matter what, gone in the blink of an eye. Until finally he found himself on trial before first the religious leaders of the day, his own people, and then the ruling political power, Rome. He was arrested in the middle of the night on a trumped-up charge by those who should have been responsible for upholding right behaviour. His trial involved false witnesses, and he was handed over for an execution sentence. And then Pilate, the Roman governor, saw no reason to condemn him, declared him innocent, and then bowed to the pressure of others to sentence this innocent man to his death. Jesus Christ, the best man ever to have lived, God himself, betrayed by one who appeared to be a friend, deserted by those who promised to stand by him, an innocent man condemned to death by an unjust judge and corrupt leadership. Why do innocent people suffer? Well, I have no catch-all, make-it-all-okay answer, but there are true things the Bible tells us, that we are right to be outraged by it, because it speaks clearly that this world is not as it should be, not as a good God made it. That God is not disinterested and distant, but he's involved in understanding. But most of all, it tells us that one innocent man, Jesus Christ, God himself, chose to suffer. Read the accounts of that first Easter, his betrayal, his desertion, his unjust trial, and see who is in control throughout. It is Jesus. He's not simply a victim, he's a willing sufferer. Which begs the obvious question, why, doesn't it? Well, he tells us in his own words, in words in Mark chapter 10, saying that he came with a purpose to give his life as a ransom for many. See, this world is not what it should be because each of us have turned our backs on the good God who made it and us. We've not loved God or one another as we should. And Jesus suffers, the innocent one, the only one not to turn his back on God in our place, only to rise again from death to give us a hope and a future as we trust him, that one day he will put all things to right. See, we don't have all the answers, but we do have true things we can say that make sense of our struggle with this question. And we also have a question posed back at us. What will we do with the innocent suffering of God himself? How will we respond to him in that light? Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your evening.